Growthpoint has made its bid for a majority stake in Capital & Regional. The group set to pay 33 pence per share to acquire just over 30% of the British shopping centre owner. Growthpoint will also subscribe to buy 311 million new Capital & Regional shares, and this will push its holding up to just over 51%. Joining me on the line to discuss the details of the deal is Group CEO of Growthpoint, Norbert Sasser. Thanks so much, Norbert, for joining us this evening. So, as I say, you've offered Capital & Regional shareholders a premium of about 100% for their shares, which will see you acquire 30.3% of the property player. How much of a good entry point have you managed to lever off here?
If you compare the underlying price that we're paying and compare that to the net asset value per share, and the underlying value of the properties,
yeah,
we do think that it represents fair value. We are fundamentally real estate investors, property investors. So obviously the price matters. It would be foolish to say the price doesn't matter. But when you work through all the numbers, for us, we work through to see, well, what yield are we buying the property assets at?
Mm-hmm.
What value per square foot are we buying the assets at? How does it compare to replacement cost? What is the underlying rentals that are embedded in the leases, the average rent levels? And therefore, how defensive are the assets? And is there still value? And we certainly believe that, the entry point is a fair entry point for us. And that it's, in fact, a pretty good time to be entering that market.
Of course, you're acquiring shares on the one hand. You've got Capco also issuing shares to Growthpoint, which will push your holding overall to above 51%. And, you were emphatic not only now, but previously when we chatted about, what you're buying into here and the fact that there needs to be a differentiation, Norbert, between the various retail types. But Capital & Regional last reported a loss, even with its defensive position in the retail environment, as it changes structurally. So what is within your control to help turn things around on that end?
Yeah, so Lisa, you got to understand the loss that they reported there, which is primarily driven by the downward revaluation of the assets. So it's not an operating loss. So, the company makes at least 30 million pounds of adjusted profit.
Mm-hmm.
And the fair value adjustment, which is essentially the write down of the values of the properties, which is it's a book entry, it's not a cash loss. That was what resulted in the company reporting, such a significant loss. Now, we understand full well that we are still in a cycle where property values are sort of trending downwards. Even for the three-month period, Capital & Regional had a further downward adjustment to its property values compared to what they declared in June. And that, again, was lower than what it was in the prior December reporting period. So we are still in a downward trajectory as it relates to valuations.
Yeah.
But therefore, if you consider the fact that the net asset value per share post the recapitalization, post the money going into the company, is at circa 40 pence. And we're essentially able to acquire control, and bear in mind there's always a control premium that needs to be paid, at the average price of our 33 and our 25 gives us an average in price of about 28.3. So we're still coming in at below, let's call it net asset value, and below the valuations that are currently on balance sheet.
Departure from the EU after, 3 years of negotiations now?
The Australian entity, I think we sort of always build as a platform acquisition. So we bought control of that vehicle, and then we supported management and their strategies to grow the business. And it's fair to say that given the specifics of the market at the time, which was in the midst of the global financial crisis, almost 10 years to the day, we saw returns, handsome returns, literally from day one, and they just got better. So, that was a stroke of luck, perhaps. Now, Brexit and what's happening in Brexit, again, is another one of these unique events, which to our mind causes some dislocation in the market. and potentially creates opportunities where, you know, people are generally shying away from the UK and certainly shying away from retail assets. The final outcome of Brexit, I think, will very much determine, I guess, how positive that might be on the UK economy going forward, or how negative. But we've taken a view, a long-term view, to look through, you know, the, let's call it the cycle. For us, it's a long-term investment. The UK is still the fifth or sixth largest economy in the world. It's not going to, you know, just disappear, you know, whether the Brexit, there's a no-deal Brexit or a deal Brexit. You know, we're pretty confident in the long-term strength of the UK economy. So we think that, you know, you've got to be patient, and over the long term, we should see very handsome returns from this investment.
No, but let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, the Group CEO of Growthpoint, Norbert Sasse.